Dave and Darren.
Episode number 701. Welcome to it, friends. It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, live from the Capriati Studios in beautiful Bettendorf, Iowa. Now your hosts, Dave and Darren.
Now we're getting in that rarefied air of like Babe Ruth and stuff.
With the being in the 700s?
Yeah, and,
I like what I like to call it the 700 Club.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about...
If you'd like to.
We're going to be talking about Jesus.
Redemption.
And the wonderful plan the Lord has for your life here. A Nacho Radio Podcast.
Oh, thank you for that.
701. Let's see. So, just the two guys with 700 home runs. Oh, three guys. The three guys with 700 plus home runs.
Yes.
In this country.
Yeah, we're not taking Saruhara O into account here.
Sorry.
No, the 700
you're slighted yet again. Oh.
Well, this is the thing.
With your high leg kick.
As wonderful as Saruhara O was, he played against Japanese baseball players.
No offense.
None taken. Yeah, you got your Aaron, your Bonds, and your Ruth.
Right.
That's it.
And 714, not only Babe Ruth, but Joe Friday's badge number.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Is there a connection?
That's why
there?
It's. I don't know. That's why it's easy to remember. 714.
I just remember it being a Mark 7 production.
Yes.
That was at the end of every episode. Now, the 600 Club is pretty robust. Right now, there are, oh, golly.
Probably at least a dozen, right? Or more? You got your Jim Tomey in there.
Gosh. Actually, it's just a handful of people at 600.
No, just Willie Mays.
Your 600 Club, you got A-Rod, who stalled at 696. Willie Mays at 660. Ken Griffey Sr., 630.
No, not Sr. There's no way Ken Griffey Sr. hit 600 home runs.
You're right. Junior. It's probably Ken Griffey Jr. Albert Pujols with 614. Jim Tomey, as you mentioned, 612. And then Sammy Sosa, 609. And that's it. That's your 600 Club. So that's pretty rarefied air, too.
Sammy Sosa, weird.
Yeah, you're. So Ken Griffey Sr. didn't play a lot of years, or what?
No, I think he played a lot of years. He
just wasn't a home run hitter.
He wasn't a big, giant home run hitter.
I've been watching a lot of WWE wrestling. Went to the event on Saturday night at the Taxslayer Center, the WWE Road to WrestleMania. The people watching at these events is really why you go.
Is there a couple that are just really over the moon?
Well,
this is the greatest thing ever.
This one was more subdued than the event we went to back on Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
But there, again, I know I talked about this last time it rolled through town. There are these grown men.
Yes.
That walk around with replica WWE belts.
And wouldn't that get you in trouble?
Well, it did get one guy in trouble.
Because I would think if you're walking around with a belt,
yeah.
No, isn't the idea for someone to take your belt?
There's a wrestler named Kevin Owens, and there was a guy sitting in the front row who was jawing at Kevin Owens, who's a bit of a heel. He's a bad guy.
Okay.
And
so you got a guy down there who's paid his money and is
back and
letting them have it.
They were going back and forth.
I'm going to get my money's worth.
It was about the belt, and you could read Kevin Owens' lips basically saying, yeah. You bought that belt.
Uh-huh.
I do this for a living. You're a nobody.
Right.
You paid money for that belt. I was the WWE champ. I had that belt given to me after I won it.
You made that belt.
Exactly. It's like showing up on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise in a Captain Kirk shirt and thinking you're Captain Kirk.
Or walking around with a bunch of trophies that you just bought.
Now, is it any more ridiculous than wearing when I go to a Sox game and I wear a White Sox jersey to the game? It's kind of silly that I'm wearing a Sox jersey to the game.
Yes.
That's their job. They wear the uniforms.
They're the players.
Right.
Not you.
Right.
You've never been invited even to training camp.
No,
Spring training.
I have not. So it is kind of silly that you wear your Bears jersey to the Bear game.
See, I've never really been allowed to do that. Rhonda was always very anti... Well, I suppose it's kind of ironic now. Very anti-sports merchandise.
That is ironic.
Just doesn't like, yeah, not a fan of the idea of a grown man walking around with a jersey, and certainly not a basketball jersey.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, that would be...
That's...
But see, that's the thing, too. Like, a basketball jersey... Like, when I wear my Sox jersey to the ball game, I'm wearing them with, like, shorts or jeans. I'm not wearing the pants.
And you're certainly not the only one doing it.
No, everyone does.
A lot of people do it.
It's a little weird. And think about this. It wasn't that long ago. Like, in our parents' lifetime, if you went to the ball game, you wore a tie.
Yes.
Right?
And a hat.
That's not that long ago. Gentlemen would wear a hat and a tie.
So would the manager.
Yes. And then at some point, someone was like, you know what? I'm not wearing the tie, I'm wearing a t-shirt. And then that was allowed. And then it was, I'm going to dress up like I'm playing in the game myself and sit in the stands. Wearing a basketball jersey with, like, jeans. Now, that's a good look.
And no shirt underneath the jersey?
Yeah, right. You know what happens.
Oh, of course it does.
It's a big look.
It's a summertime look.
Go to a Blackhawk game, you're wearing the sweater. They're not going to ask you to play.
No.
But it's very important. And I think hockey fans are more guilty of this than anything.
And it's not really hockey a sweater.
That's what they call it.
I know they call it that, but it's not. It is a jersey. At one time, it might have been a sweater.
I see what you're saying. But I think hockey fans are more guilty of this than anyone, where it's got to be authentic. It's got to be like something like they could wear on the ice. Major League Baseball to a degree as well, I guess.
There's not a lot of hockey jerseys.
The reason I bring up the WWE is I've been watching a lot of content on the WWE channel. I can't get enough of it. Yeah. I've been watching especially this documentary on my favorite wrestler of all time, Randy the Macho Man Savage, who was in the Cardinals. He was in the Cardinals organization for a while.
Football or baseball?
No, baseball.
Huh.
Baseball. He was...
Had to be a relief pitcher.
No. Outfielder.
Huh.
And the thing about Randy was he was very passionate about fitness. And he would get a tire. And
what's with all the Slim Jims?
Well, that was for money.
Oh, yeah.
That was for money. He would get a tire, and then he would just, every chance he got, he would just bought a tire, and he would just whack it with a bat just to build up strength in his wrists.
Hmm.
And he was a really good hitter. Played for Downers Grove High School back home.
Uh-huh.
There's a apartment complex, I guess, behind... Where the Downers Grove High School is, and there's like
where he would beat tires.
He put a ball in a window on the third level of an apartment complex. No one else has ever done that. So he was like the super stud baseball player. And in the end, he was in the Cardinal organization. He was with the White Sox for a little bit too in minor league baseball. Like he could have been a baseball player. He gets cut. He comes home. He takes all of his baseball bats, goes out in the front yard of his parents' house, and just breaks them in half.
He's like, over his knee?
Yeah, over a tree.
Over a tree.
Yeah. He's just like,
I'm done.
I'm done with baseball. Never again.
You say I'm not good enough.
Now I'm on to wrestling. If they're done with me, then I'm done with them.
Yeah.
And then he focused all his energy on wrestling, and the rest is history. But yeah, it's crazy to think, like, Macho Man could have been a member of the Chicago White Sox. Bit of a power hitter. Oh, yeah. Could have been a Cardinal, too.
People dressing up, managers dressing up like ball players.
Yeah.
Not in basketball so much. You had your occasional player coaches.
Right. Now the last Major League Baseball player coach I remember was Pete Rose.
Yes.
Has there been one since?
I don't believe so. And then in basketball you had Bill Russell at one point. You had Lenny Wilkins, I believe, at one point. Do you remember the quarterback? Do you remember this? This would have been on your Green Bay Packers back in the late 70s, maybe early 80s.
Okay.
I believe there was a guy, was his name like Zeke Bartkowski?
That's the most Packer name I've ever heard in my life.
He was like the third string quarterback, but also one of the coaches.
Wow.
Am I getting that right? Zeke Bartkowski?
It says here, Tom Landry was a defensive back while serving as the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants.
Mm.
That's not bad. And then Dan Reeves was something of a player coach as well. Steve DeBerg was an unofficial mentor. Doesn't really say that he was a coach. But like your Curly Lambos and your George Halases, they were
Zeke
full
Bratkowski.
On. Zeke Bratkowski, huh?
Zeke Bratkowski out of Danville, Illinois.
Oh, you're the best.
University of Georgia.
Wow.
14 seasons. Played with your Bears, your Rams, and your Packers.
There was talk that when Kenny Williams fired Ozzie Guillen, that he was going to make Paulie Konerko the player coach. That was something they were thinking about doing. That Paul Konerko is going to be a player coach, and in the end, they went with Robin Ventura, which was a good idea for half a season, and then it was a bad idea.
Abe, and with the Bears at one point.
Is that right?
And with the Bears at one point, Abe Gibron.
Good old Abe Gibron,
the very first Bears coach I remember.
Yeah.
Abruptly promoted him to offensive coordinator, then pressed him into service as a backup quarterback.
Wow. So there's... you got to wear a lot of hats in this organization. We're not really in a place where we can...
It looks to me like he spent most of his career as a coach and a backup.
Is that right? Neil Armstrong's the first Bear coach I remember.
Yeah, that would have been after the fact.
Yeah. No, I'm just... Well, I'm a little younger than you are.
You are, in fact.
And I remember thinking, this man walked on the moon, and now and he's coaching
the coach of the
our Chicago Bears. What a great team this is. Our coach... Sure, they're getting their butts kicked.
What a world.
Our coach was the first man on the moon.
What a world. And quite frankly, that doesn't even cover it all. What a world.
What a ton.
What a galaxy.
Hey,
I mean, Neil Armstrong's unearthly doings. Not only is he calling the plays down here.
That's right.
He's picking up moon rocks.
And even if Buzz Aldrin is the player manager for the Packers, our coach was on the moon first. So take that, Packers. Hey, do me a favor. Let us know where the show is coming from. I got to put a chicken pot pie in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, the big family chicken pot pie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a good one. The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is brought to you by Mary's Diamonds and Jewelry. They're located at 3320 East Kimberly Road next to Green Buick. They have their bridal sale going on right now. Come in and check out their engagement rings starting at just $350 and their large selection of GIA certified loose diamonds and their custom bridal line. GIA diamonds, they are the world's most foremost authority on diamonds. So when they're saying you're getting something, you're getting it. They offer free cleanings and inspections. Stop in and experience their impeccable customer service. Take advantage of their interest-free financing. Find the perfect gift for every occasion. Mary's Diamonds and Jewelry, locally owned and operated. They are open Tuesdays through Saturday starting at 9 a.m. Like them on Facebook and check them out at marysdiamondsandjewelry.com. When you're there, make sure you mention Nacho Radio, the podcast. If you'd like to reach out to it, use the Harrington Pub text line 470-23-NACHO, Harrington's Pub, 2321 Cumberland Square Drive in Bettendorf, home of the Quad City's best Bloody Mary. And the podcast is originating from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio. Capriotti's gift cards are the perfect gift. Everybody loves Capriotti's. Deliveries available. Order online at order.capriotti's.com. Capriotti's, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak and so much more. Mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub at Capriotti's for the price of the small one. Why wouldn't you do that? Save yourself some money.
Yeah, and help the show out as well. I just had a little flashback as I ran to go put that chicken pot pie in the oven. Back at the old place, back when we were on FM. Yeah, before that happened.
Yeah.
We used to have Darren has a pizza oven.
Yes. Which I believe I left. I was thinking about that pizza oven the other day.
Yeah. Did you leave it in that building?
I believe I did. It was a good pizza oven.
Yeah, I'm disappointed to hear that you left that behind then.
I think I did.
There's not a chance that you took that to Hotel Moline?
Oh, I suppose there's a chance, but I don't think so.
You
want to go get it?
No, I'll never set foot in that building again.
No, I mean, just to get the pizza oven.
No. No, it's not worth it for me. My point is that we would put pizzas in sometimes in the morning.
Oh, right.
We would make breakfast pizzas, and then either one of us would forget that the pizza was
there. No, we didn't forget.
Or like a segment would go long.
What happened was we'd put a pizza in, and it would probably typically take, and I would do it in such a way that I was trying to massage it so that it was going to work out perfectly.
Right.
Because it usually took about, what? 8 minutes, maybe?
Ten minutes. The pizza oven was located, you have to understand, on the other side of the building.
Yeah, so you had to go run to get it. And sometimes, Yeah, sometimes there would be a segment which I'd be kind of trying to flash you the old pizza eyes. I'd be like, Dave, what are you doing? This is kind of, we're going to end up with a burnt pizza.
We'd be there doing the show.
It's like, Dave, this is, the segment's been good, but the segment now can end.
We would be doing the show there at Stately Sewage Manor, and I would be on a roll. Kicking a dead horse, and Darren would be like, "Give me," and then it would be in a really funny segment, and then Darren would start giving me the look like, "Shut up already." I guess I said we would forget. I would forget that you would put a pizza in.
Sometimes it almost seemed intentional, which doesn't make any sense because you were enjoying the pizza as much as anyone. Well,
they were great pizzas, but then you know what? To be honest, maybe I did kind of do a little self sabotage because sometimes when the cheese gets a little burnt, kind of like that. There were a lot of times it was too burnt to enjoy. But
a couple times. Not too often.
Every once in a while, we stumbled into a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah. Usually pretty good. That was a quality oven. I guess the reason I left it is because I just didn't have room for it. Yeah. Where do you put it?
Yeah. Well.
I hope you eat something and get botulism. So what do you think?
Later.
I hope the coils go out on it and you get botulism. Because I tell you what, you get that, you get something, you eat something the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. You know it.
Stately Sewage Manor. I've got the top five things here.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's a heavy rain, if you're the authorities, you should go check things out because there's a lot of raw sewage in that building.
Yeah, no, when it rains, excrement comes up from the ground and covers the basement.
The place should be closed down.
Human excrement. And these are facts.
Every time.
Yeah. I'm sure they took care of that. I'm sure it doesn't happen anymore.
Sure.
Number one.
One.
Number one.
For the record, I want to say we wish them the best.
I don't.
All right. The people at Merriam-Webster have announced that they've added 850 new words to the dictionary.
But we don't get rid of any.
Right. This is weird, too, because they just added a bunch of words at the end of 2017, and now they're adding...
Isn't that the time to add them?
Well, I guess, you know, that's the beauty of the language.
Do what you want. You make up what you want. It's all made up anyway.
Cryptocurrency. Yes. That's in the dictionary now. You hear that word a lot. I guess it belongs in the dictionary, right?
Yeah.
Kombucha, which is a delicious fermented tea drink.
Mm.
Yeah. You ever had a kombucha?
I don't believe so.
It's great
Where
stuff.
Do I get it?
You can get them...
Can I get it at the coffee...
You can't get it at...
East Moline Coffee Company?
No, I don't know they have it at Eastmo. I've had mine at a place.
What do you call it again?
It's a kombucha.
Kombucha.
Yeah, so it's like this. There's like this mushroom head that grows on the tea.
I can't believe you're trying this.
Oh yeah, no, it's great. Well, there's alcohol in it. Very little. You would get sick before you got drunk.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we did a segment on kombucha on the brood.
Okay. All right.
Also getting added, kobacha, which is a kind of Japanese pumpkin. Dumpster fire is now in the dictionary.
What do Japanese jack-o'-lanterns look like?
Well, that's the thing. Because if you picture a jack-o'-lantern's face and you say it's a Japanese person, horribly racist.
I didn't say that.
No, I am saying that.
I'm just saying, what's a Japanese...
Like the toothy grin in the eyes?
What's a Japanese jack-o'-lantern look like?
Like, if your kid carves a pumpkin and goes, it's a Japanese person, that kid needs a timeout because it's super racist.
No, I'm not talking about Owen... carving a pumpkin and saying it's a Japanese jack-o'-lantern. I'm not saying that at all.
Well,
I'm talking about Japanese kids making them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Japanese... I don't know that they carve pumpkins. I think they just enjoy eating them and making them squares. Life hack in the dictionary. Hate watch is in there. Also a unicorn. Now, unicorn is a word that's already in the dictionary, but this is a new definition. A unicorn is a company... that is valued at its startup of $1 billion or more.
Hmm.
They call that a unicorn.
So that's just added to the meaning.
Yeah, exactly. And there's 850 new words for us all to check out and enjoy.
Number two.
You know, if that's your thing. Also, Chiweenie. That's one of my favorites.
Chiweenie?
A Chiweenie. A Chiweenie is a new breed of dog, I guess. It's a mixture between a Chihuahua and a Dachshund.
Chiweenie.
They call it a... Chiweeny. Number two on our top five things, there's a company in England that's looking to pay more than $40,000 to a professional sex doll tester. They need someone to...
Olermo! Little Ermo!
He needs someone to have sex...
Little Ermo!
Raji!
The adult toy firm Silicon Sex World says they're looking for someone willing to try out their products.
Do you remember Little Ermo's voice?
So Little Ermo was his doll.
Yes, that was his bench.
Yeah.
His
doll sounded like this.
Well, no.
Well, that sounds like Spank.
Hi, it's Little Ermo! Hi, everybody. I'm Little Ermo.
The job pays like $40,000 a year, flexible working hours, 22 days holiday per year.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, 22 days.
Yeah, you get 22 days holiday per year.
Okay.
Plus a free gym membership and use of the company cell phone. Also, your friends and family get a discount for the wide range
of male sex doll products. I'm guessing that when you quit... Or if you quit or you get fired and you have to turn in the company cell phone, they boil it, right?
The new tester is expected to attend industry events around the world, keep ahead of competition, and be on top of quality control with products leaving and arriving at the warehouse. So, like, when you order one of these dolls, does it have, like, a sticker on the ass, like, inspected by Terry? What is your job there?
Maybe just a number.
What? Well, let me ask you this. What number would that be if you had to guess?
The number of the beast?
69, dudes!
It writes itself. Yeah, they say if you want to apply for this job, it's over in England. They say previous experience with sex dolls would be taken into consideration. So if you're looking to make money overseas...
All I'm saying is I don't know a ton about sex dolls. I'm just offering this up as common sense. Put it out in the sun.
Number three, but
not for too long.
Right.
You don't need to scorch yourself on it.
Darren's been saying this since he found out about the
Miley Cyrus
blow up doll,
which I never got.
See, I can't tell if you're saying that with a measure of pride or regret. Or equal measure.
Well, it's certainly not pride.
The Amazon Alexa device lost its voice the other day, and people were going crazy. Digital assistant Alexa, on Friday, she was down. And people were reporting issues with Alexa. And the thing is, she becomes such a part of your family that for some people, this was very, very...
Distressful news. I don't with my phone. I don't use the voice commands.
Oh, we use her a lot here.
Yeah, I just
she
don't.
Gets a lot of work here. Like right now, I told her to count 45 minutes on the pot pie I put in the oven.
Couldn't you just see what time it was when you put it in?
It's much easier if she tells me your pot pie is done.
Is kind of fanciful.
I depend on
that. That is kind of fanciful for someone to say some robot.
Right. There's a robot in my kitchen that lets me know the pot pie is done.
Gee, Mr. Jetson. Your pot pie is done, Mr. Jetson.
So, yeah, people had to look up the weather on their own or play music on their own or turn lights on and off on their own.
No, I don't use it.
This is the only room in the house, the studios, where Alexa controls the lights.
She can do it from here?
If we're in the kitchen and we turn the lights on down here in the studios, I can say, Alexa, turn off the studio
lights.
What
if you yelled at her from here?
If I yelled loud enough, she would do it.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's too loud.
Yeah,
you don't want to screech.
Well, I'd rather we didn't.
Number four.
Someone might be listening to this in the car and we don't need you.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, it's never any consideration to my family. I don't know that that's the best for the podcasting.
No, I get it.
So NBC the other day announced that they were going to start taking a look at reducing the number of commercials that they're using. And they want to do this. This is NBC Universal. They want to do this across the platform on all the stations they own. So that's NBC, of course. That's your Sci-Fi Network, your USA, your NBC Sports. They want to reduce the amount of commercials that they're using.
Are they going to reduce the amount of time or just the commercials?
They want...
Because what do you got, about half an hour, and there's like, what, 7 minutes in half an hour?
Right, and they want to shave that down and then charge advertisers more money. you know, there's fewer commercials, so you have to pay more. Because NBC's not interested in making less money.
No.
They're just realizing that they got to do something because people just are not watching traditional television.
I wonder if the advertisers are interested in paying more money.
Well, I would hope that they would have a talk with these advertisers. Now the good people at Fox are announcing that by the year 2020, they want it to be 2 minutes of commercials an hour.
Oh boy, that's not nothing.
Bringing the commercial time, this would be on Fox, and again, the year 2020, which sounds like some sort of faraway magical mystery date.
But it's not.
You know, we're less than 2 years away. The ad sales chief, Jomar Chase, is the advertising chief for Fox Network, and he says they want to reduce the TV ad time to 2 minutes an hour by the year 2020. He says that's the target.
A lot less work, too, isn't there?
I'll tell you this. So now they want to get rid of commercials because they think people will be more apt to watch TV if they get rid of commercials.
Yeah.
Guess who's pretty happy he got out of the game selling TV commercials?
Woo! Dodged a bullet on this one, everybody.
Well, but I mean, the thing is, if all you have to
that was close.
If all you have to, if you have to do is sell two commercials,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to trying to sell 14 commercials.
See, TV commercials is a different animal, and I don't want to bore you with this, but if I sell you a commercial for TV, and this is how it works in the industry, okay? This is not specific to one TV station. I only sold commercials for one TV station, but I found this fascinating because this isn't the way it works in other media, to the best of my knowledge. So let's say Nacho Radio wants to buy a TV commercial on the 10 o'clock news.
All right,
and that'll be $600 for a 30-second commercial.
What?!
That's getting you in.
What?
That's getting. Oh, believe me, that's getting you in at the lowest level.
Pass.
But here's what happens though. Here's what happens. If somebody comes and says, "Well, I'll pay $800,"
you get bumped.
Nacho Radio gets bumped. So then you have to do these what's called preempts. And what's particularly maddening is now, like this time of year. You've got gubernatorial races on both sides of the river here.
Yes.
And they spend a ton of money on political advertising.
Aren't they supposed to get the best rate?
They get whatever rate they get.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
No.
No, because you tell them this is what it'll take get on, and they go, okay, well, that's what it'll take again. So then you're constantly calling people up going, Listen, I know you gave me $3,000 for commercials.
Didn't happen.
8 of the 9 spots didn't run.
Didn't happen.
We can make it up. Right.
But we can air them now. It's like, yeah, but mine was a time-sensitive sale.
Well, if it's time-sensitive, look, I mean, they do what they can, but it's a very confounding formula.
It's almost like the airline industry. It's like, we'll oversell and bump you all we want.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. This would be a huge change. The average amount of ad time right now, an hour on broadcast television, you're watching at least 13 minutes of commercials.
Uh-huh.
On cable, you're watching 16 minutes of commercials.
Wasn't cable's original promise no commercials?
I do think it's outrageous.
I mean, originally.
Right. Like, if I'm going to pay, you're paying $10 a month no matter where you are.
It's paid television.
You're paying $10 a month for ESPN even if you don't watch ESPN.
And there's tons of commercials on ESPN.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
I thought the original promise of cable television was no commercials.
Yeah, no. We were all lied to, Darren.
You're darn right we were lied to.
Well, Fox now says savages. two minutes an hour is their target and their challenge for the industry. They say creating a sustainable model for ad-supported storytelling will require everyone to do this. So, yeah. Get ready for less commercials. On the broadcast and cable television.
Five.
Tell you what, a hell of a lot better deal is right here on Nacho Radio.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, there's no question about it.
We can get you in at a very reasonable rate.
How many times have we bumped an advertiser?
Never.
The answer's never. Finally, Darren, scientists have recreated deja vu in a laboratory setting.
I like that.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Deja vu. That uncanny feeling that this has all happened before. Now, why does deja vu happen? Some people think that it's some sort of supernatural past life experience.
No. No, you know why it's not? because every deja vu I've ever had is a deja vu that has taken place in this life.
Yes.
Right? Whenever you experience deja vu,
well,
it's from this world.
Well, it feels very familiar. Like, I've been here before. That was on the TV. That song was in the background. I was with this person.
In this life.
Right. But deja vu can also be you walk into a room and you have a weird feeling you've been there before, but it's not connected to anything personally. That's also another form of deja vu.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
No, I certainly never have. But that does happen. That is an experience that people have claimed to have had.
You're going into a place. I'm going into a city I've never been.
Right.
And I'm trying to say, I've been here before.
Well, I mean, there are people who have had that experience.
Yeah, they're looking for attention.
There's also the idea that something peculiar is going on, like you visited this place in a dream. Like, I've dreamt this, and now it's happening. Now, that's the deja vu that I experienced. Now, I will say this. My deja vu, when it happens to me, it's always completely mundane, ridiculous stuff.
I'm eating this
piece of pizza,
yes,
and the ball game is on. It's never like...
No. Yes.
You know, we've landed on Mars.
The Queen.
Right. It's never useful stuff. No, it's always like I'm having a good time. I'm like, oh, wow, this right now feels a little weird.
It's like, I think I can predict what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. The other explanation for deja vu is that you're having a frontal lobe seizure.
That's quite possible.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
I'd like to have a Vujardin, the strange sensation. This has never happened before.
Well, after looking at it, clinical cognitive psychologists at Colorado State University have figured it out. They've got a new paper, and they say that the thing is, the feeling of deja vu is simply that, a feeling. It's not more than a feeling? It's not more than a feeling there, it's, Brad Delp.
It's just a feeling. It's nothing. It's not real.
The working hypothesis, they say, is it's a particular manifestation of familiarity. You have a familiarity in a situation when you feel you shouldn't have it. Everything feels so familiar, but it shouldn't.
Too familiar.
It's jarring. And they just say that it's just a feeling. That's all it is. They recreated it in a laboratory.
I can go with that.
Yeah. Those were your top five things.
The Top Five Things podcast brought to you by the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg, where coming up on Friday, March 30th, it's Loving Vincent, the world's first fully painted feature film. Also coming to the Orpheum Theater, magician Bill Blagg, comedian Henry Cho, Peter Pan Jr., and of course, Kevin Smith. His show on April 13th is sold out, but the interactive podcast that's going to be taking place after that show, those tickets are available now at the Orpheum Theater. You can get those right there at the box office or online, galesburgorpheum.org, or by phone at 309-342-2299. The Orpheum Theater serves wine and beer, including Iron Spike Brews. The Orpheum Theater is also available for private events and weddings and movie rentals. The Orpheum Theater, lean forward, engage, and be entertained. The podcast is originating from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Taste the Capriati's difference. Only the very best and freshest ingredients guaranteed. And enjoy their delicious soups, including turkey chili, tomato bisque, clam chowder, chicken noodle, and chicken tortilla. Or, how about this? I've never done this, but you go to Capriati's, and you go up there, and okay, so there's a couple of these soups, some of these soups that are being served that day. You just go in there and go, suicide, suicide. I want suicide soup, suicide, suicide.
Do not do that.
Just mix all your soups together and see what you get. Suicide. He's like, are you a man child? What is wrong with you? You're asking for suicide soup? Yes. Mix it all together. And that's what I want. Suicide, suicide.
Suicide soup.
Mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one. Aren't I whimsical? If anything.
I'm just your childlike wonderment. Always delights.
It's like, why don't you just grow up a tiny bit? Just, you know.
See, I tend to just always be stuck in curmudgeon mode. You go from curmudgeon to 8-year-old. You're all over the place. You might be having some frontal lobe seizures.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt that. I mean, I can get in a mood.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's one thing I can do, I can get in a mood. Yeah, yeah. Harrington's Pub It's like they always, people always say, okay, each morning you kind of decide, what's it going to be today?
Yeah, yeah.
How you gonna, what's your mood going to be today?
Right on.
A lot of times my mood is dangerous. Very dangerous. If you'd like to reach out to the podcast, use the Harrington Pub text line 470-23-NACHO. Join Harrington's Pub for the Quad City's best St. Patrick's Day celebration. That's happening on Saturday, March 17th. Doors open at 8 a.m. $3 domestic tall boys, $4 Jamesons, $4 Guinness pints, and $5 Irish car bombs. Free corned beef and cabbage with a drink purchase and live music as well. And that is happening at Harrington's Pub. Again, mark it down. This should be easy to remember because St. Patrick's Day actually falls on St. Patrick's Day this year. That makes any sense.
Well, the celebration does.
The celebration does. Saturday,
St. Patrick's Day, I think
March
you'll
17th.
Find, has always been on St. Patrick's
Day.
Yeah,
but if it falls like on a Wednesday, what kind of crap is that?
Oh, I think that's how you separate the men from the boys. Who's willing to celebrate on a Wednesday? As opposed to having it be convenient. It's a feast day.
I have no interest in separating the men from the boys. It sounds like work.
Okay, Kevin Spacey.
Sounds like work to me.
I got to say this. Yesterday, we had a lot of fun. It was one of the more... the Jaws bit from yesterday's podcast is, I think, that's some of the funniest stuff we've ever done. I don't know why it tickled me so. And then listening to it again, I got a real kick out of it.
Well, because it's real.
But then I went and looked to see other differences between the book and the movie.
Yeah. And?
I think, and I know this is blasphemy, they could do a reboot. They should make Jaws like a Netflix TV show.
As the movie.
And do the book.
Or as the book.
Yeah. Because the book has a lot of interesting stuff that's not in the movie. And it's, how could it be? I mean, you only got 2 hours to tell the story. For instance, the mayor wants to keep the beaches open because the mob owns all of the businesses on the beach.
Ooh.
And they're interested in not making money.
Yeah, see, it's a grittier story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember my mom reading the book and telling us about the story.
Yeah.
She's reading this book. And so when Jaws came out, the movie, it's like, you gotta let us go.
Right.
I mean, even though it's rated R,
right,
and I'm 10 years old,
right,
I'm going.
You've been hearing about this
because
shark
you've been
forever.
Telling me about these adulterous goings on.
Were you disappointed when there was no adultery in the movie?
I was.
Of course, you're a 10-year-old. You,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, where's
the? I'm the wife. I'm sleeping around.
Where's the sex behind everyone's back?
Got a story here to tie into the Captain Quint story. He dies differently in the book.
In the book, he gets
caught up in ropes. They harpoon the shark, and like the rope goes around his leg, and the shark drags him into the water.
Doesn't eat him.
No.
Doesn't chomp him.
No. Huh. He drowns because the shark takes him under with him.
Drags him under, yeah.
Which I think is a better story.
Yeah.
Right? I know it's blasphemy to do a reboot of Jaws, but they're going to have to. Netflix is bringing back Lost in Space. They dropped the trailer for that today. They're doing a Lost in Space reboot.
I can smell that chicken pot pie.
I know, right? It's time to wrap up the show. But the
I'm not going to let you. What are you going to have?
Here's payback for all them pizzas we burnt at Stately's Sewage Manor.
Oh, I hope you like that crust kind of crusty.
Kind of blackened. Parker Posey is Dr. Smith in the new Lost in Space.
Okay.
Which
it's about space, it's about time to slap your face.
Well, this is the thing. No one can replace Jonathan Davis, right? Was that the cat's name?
Okay, if you say so.
Or is that the lead singer of Korn?
Yeah, that's the lead singer of Korn.
Who is Dr. Smith? It wasn't Jonathan Davis?
Dr. Smith?
Yeah, the actor. You clippering clank of clippity clops. You're just always.
Well, wasn't that Mr. Hand?
Don't you? No. No, that's my favorite Martian.
Well, that's my favorite Martian. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Isn't it Jonathan Harris?
Okay, it could be. You said Jonathan Harris. Now that's different.
Jonathan Harris, not Jonathan Davis.
Okay, all right.
Okay, I figured
Jonathan
it out.
Harris.
I figured it out without going to the internet. But you can't replace Dr. Zachary Smith. Yeah, Jonathan Harris is
right.
Dr. Smith. Jonathan Davis is the front man for Korn. But Jonathan Davis is so great in the original. Like, how do you replace him? You replace him with Parker Posey.
Okay.
That makes a lot more sense. Who was Dr. Smith in the movie that they tried to do in the 90s with Joey from Friends?
Oh, brother.
Was it Academy Award winner Gary Oldman? Am I wrong about that?
Maybe.
Anyway, my point is, This reboot looks good.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tie in a story here that Captain Quint could enjoy. They have found wreckage of the aircraft carrier, the USS Lexington. Now, of course, Quint was on the Indianapolis.
Yes.
That there is the USS Indianapolis. But this Paul Allen, billionaire who co-founded Microsoft and just likes to spend money on cuckoo things, he's been looking for years for this U.S. aircraft carrier that the Japanese sunk in World War II, and he discovered it 500 miles off the coast of Australia. One of the first U.S. aircraft carriers ever built, the Lady Lex has been located at the bottom of the sea. We lost it in May of 42, along with 216 of its crew and 35 of its aircraft, and they're saying that it was the first ever aircraft carrier battle in history, the Battle of the Coral Sea. Hmm. Anyway, they found this thing at the bottom of the sea, and the video of it is striking.
Uh-huh.
Check that out if you get a chance.
Oh, okay. That's just kind of a Quint-related thing.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to point out, too, that I think they should do Jaws the TV show. Enough time has passed. And if it's more loyal to the book, then there's a reason to do it.
Why a TV show? Why not just the movie?
Well, I like the idea of it being like 6-7 hours. Hmm. If you're really going to tell the story of a novel...
Yeah, okay, so like a made-for-TV thing.
And here's the thing,
rich
too.
Rich man, poor man all with the a
best,
shark.
Here's the thing, too. All the best movies now are TV shows.
Yeah, they probably
There's
are.
So many great TV shows.
Yeah, that are so much better than movies.
You got a lot more time to tell the story. Yeah. Sometimes too much time, but by and large, I mean, the TV, that's the reason why I didn't go see any movies. Too many damn good TV shows.
If you say so.
Just, I'm telling you, it's the case. We got time for one more.
Are you sure? Because that chicken pot pie smells like it's done.
Well, there's this one. I can't believe Darren wasn't on this flight. A woman on a flight from San Francisco to Boise tried to open the cabin door midair. She kept screaming that she was God.
Oh, brother.
I'm going to play you this audio from ABC television.
Now to that mid-air scare we mentioned at the top. A passenger tried to open the door of a plane in flight today. Here is transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
I am God.
Passengers on board United Express flight 5449 restrained this Boise, Idaho woman who was ranting about being God. You can see a passenger working to tie up the woman's feet as another man holds her down in the aisle. Moments earlier, she'd tried to open the aircraft door while the plane was in flight, traveling from San Francisco to Boise this morning. That plane landed safely, and Boise police were waiting at the gate. The woman was taken for medical evaluation.
She kept saying that she was God.
Well, I tell you what, if you're God, I got some questions. And I got some umbrage. First of all, what's with all the disfigured people and the stray dogs?
Wow.
I'm not impressed. Maybe with some of the landscape, I'll give you that. But the rest of it, you can keep it. I think you've done a piss poor job.
So God is here on the flight, and
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to
before you open that door, Lord. Darren's got some stuff he'd like to get off his chest.
I'm going to get something off my chest. I'll give you the vistas, beautiful. But the rest of it, how dare you?
We'll be back on Thursday with a new episode of the Top 5 Things, if that works for you.
It does. The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is brought to you by the East Moline Coffee Company, 3537 Archer Drive in East Moline, just north of United Township High School. Make 2018 your year and enjoy an all-natural fruit smoothie with or without protein. Try a super tasty protein puck packed full of fruits and nuts. Delicious. A great way to start the day. Gourmet hot, iced, and frozen beverages, as well as whole bean coffee. Coffee and loose leaf tea, biscotti, breakfast cookies, all natural oatmeal, muffins, and more. The East Moline Coffee Company. Join their loyalty rewards and check them out at eastmocoffee.com. The podcast is also brought to you by our fine patrons on Podbean. Join today, won't you? As well as everyone who shops Amazon.com by using the link at nachoradio.com. Bookmark that. We certainly appreciate it. The podcast, if you'd like to reach out to us, you can do so anytime you'd like, 24/7 on the Harrington Pub text line, 470-23-NACHO, where they have live music on Thursdays with $3 Miller and Coors bottles. This Thursday, it's Lewis Knutson at Harrington's Pub, home of the Quad Cities' best Bloody Mary. The podcast has originated from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio. Enjoy one of Capriati's specialty party trays if you're having a party, or build your own by choosing a combination of cold subs. And for that extraordinary event, build your own perfect meatball sub with Cap's Meatball Bar. Capriati's signature homemade meatballs are made from scratch daily, simmered in a classic marinara sauce. Every meatball bar comes with sliced provolone, Romano cheese, and baked rolls. And let me tell you this, you throw a party and you've got a Capriati's meatball bar there, they'll never stop talking about that party. Mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one if you're there for lunch or dinner at either location, 53rd Street in Davenport or 4640 First Avenue North, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We're back with episode 702 on Thursday. Gary Oldham was, in fact, Dr. Smith in that horrible Lost in Space movie.
I bet the check cashed.
That's right. That's what it was about. Until we get a chance to do it for you next time, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Vaya, con Dios.